The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. John McCain wants more missiles in Europe. The talking heads on TV are fairly seething that Obama hasn't gone toe-to-toe with Putin. And the Wall Street Journal is really earning its other name, the War Street Journal, with one writer likening events in Ukraine to the Cuban Missile Crisis. But when have events in Ukraine ever threatened Americans with nuclear warheads? When has the disposition of Crimea ever threatened American peace and prosperity? Clearly, it's time to get a grip on reality and talk with Ron Paul, and we'll do that in a moment.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
Having been through the car buying experience yourself, you'll be so glad to know about a new way to buy a car. TrueCar.com is changing everything. TrueCar.com is the simple, fair, and fun way to buy a car. At TrueCar.com, you know when you'll get a fair price because they show you what others paid for the car you're looking for. And TrueCar users receive negotiation-free, guaranteed savings. The TrueCar process, three simple steps to guaranteed savings. First, you go to TrueCar.com and find out what others paid for the same vehicle in your market and around the country. Second, register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings certificate. And then the third step is so simple. Just print out your certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free buying experience. TrueCar.com has the most comprehensive new car pricing information available and a certified network of dealers that offer a hassle-free car buying experience and negotiation-free guaranteed savings. It's so simple. It's really hassle-free. Just go to TrueCar.com. TrueCar. TrueCar.com.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
Ron Paul has written, "Why have we been stirring up trouble in Ukraine, in Syria, in Africa? Why are we defending South Korea and Japan when they're wealthy enough to defend themselves?" Dr. Paul, the United States is oceans away from the world's conflicts, yet we seem to be involved in everything everywhere.
Well, I guess the compulsion is that we see ourselves as the policemen of the world, and we see ourselves operating a world empire. So we actually, the majority of people in Washington believe we have this responsibility to be involved, which I think is tragic, and it's going to drive us to total bankruptcy. But the precise problem that we have in Ukraine right now has to do with a little bit of history as well as with economic policy, along with the fact that we declare ourselves the policemen of the world and that we are to maintain this empire. But the history suggests that we don't have much at stake in Ukraine. We shouldn't be worrying about it. There's a civil war going on. There was an overthrow of an elected government. If anything, if we had to speak out, we might have spoken out about having a democratically elected government thrown out with the support of the U.S. government as well as the Europeans. But there's also the history that part of Ukraine, especially Crimea, has been a part of Russia for hundreds of years. So they have much at stake there, a lot more than we do, and they can justify it. But there's the other issue that's going on right now is the economic issues as well, and these threats of sanctions. Most people are conceding, and I think we're winning this fight. The American people don't want us to be involved militarily. They don't want us to send troops. But unfortunately, they can usually be talked into sanctions and threats and intimidations, which so often lead to war. You know, in the 90s, we had sanctions and actually used bombs against Iraq and killed a lot of people, which finally led to a war that was devastating to us. And so that's why I come down very hard against sanctions. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to look at a little bit of history, in the spring of 1941, guess what? We froze the assets of the Japanese and made it virtually impossible for them to buy any oil, and they reacted. That doesn't mean the Japanese were angels at the time, but that was a precipitating factor. So I think sanctions now are the big issue. Are we going to put sanctions on Russia? At least we're threatening to. At the same time, I think deep down in the hearts of the Europeans, they don't want it, especially Germany, because 25% of the gas for all of Europe comes from Russia. And yet they're the ones who participated in this overthrow of the government. You know, the European Union, along with the United States and our special CIA and different people, we've been involved. So they want an alliance with Europe, and they don't want Ukraine to have an alliance with Russia. So the sanction things, I think, are very, very dangerous. Also, there's a lot of finances involved because I don't believe this would be happening if Ukraine was not bankrupt. Ukraine is suffering the same consequences as Greece was. And the people in Greece had borrowed too much money, and they were beholden to a lot of banks, and nobody wanted that to fail, but nobody wanted to bail them out. But lo and behold, they really did. They came to the rescue, and it's sort of ongoing, but so far the banks have not suffered. And that is what's happening now. The Ukrainians owe money, and I'm sure the banks are very much involved, as other countries, and the IMF gets involved. And they say that they need about $35 billion for short-term debt relief, but it's probably a lot more. Others estimate it's probably $400 billion. But we started to take care of it. We see that our Secretary of the Treasury said that he's promised the new government, of course, the government overthrew the old government, $1 billion because of pressing needs, you know, a little bit of change to pay a couple of bills. But why shouldn't we stop and think, well, if he has $1 billion to throw around, what about the pressing needs, you know, here at home? One time, sort of with a cavalier attitude, I said, you know, if you're going to waste money, why don't you waste it here at home instead of overseas? Of course, our notion of solving these problems like this and handling money is to allow the money in the first place to stay in the hands of the people who earn it, and not take it from them and then have the government get involved. But in this case, they don't even take it directly from the people. They just print the money. The world still trusts the dollar. And so we just run up more and more debt. But this is a problem that isn't going to go away, because I think the Russians are going to hold firm. I think they have, if you want to talk legitimacy, they probably have more legitimacy. Actually, we shouldn't have to figure that all out, because there are no angels in this whole mess. And the one thing about non-intervention is that we deal with our imperfections, not their imperfections. And if we stay out of it, then we help keep it from getting these. And the Russians have been acting a little friendlier and talking to each other. And they're threatening, whether they can do it or not, they're at least throwing it out there that, well, we'll quit using the dollar if they steal money from our accounts, which freezing accounts literally is. And the Chinese are powerful. They have a lot of gold and they have a lot of dollars. I don't think they're interested in crashing the dollar. But in a way, if things got out of hand, they could. Not only that, if they were able to bring about that kind of havoc in the international markets, along with closing down all the gas going to Europe, that's a real mess. Some people say, well, America has a lot of cheap gas. It would be good for us. We can export this gas. But how long do you think it's going to take to build a pipeline that is going to flow quite as readily as the pipeline that's coming out of Russia to Europe? It can happen over time, but sometimes things get out of control. Most wars get started by misinterpreting the opposition. Oh, yeah, they're saying this, but they're bluffing. Oh, no, they wouldn't do this. And that was the way it was explained, that the Vietnam War started and went on and on. Oh, yes, the Americans thought they won't ever, you know, continue to fight. They can't win. Look at the odds against them. And of course, the Vietnamese assume, well, the Americans, they'll wear out after a year or two. Instead, look at what the tragedy was. So both sides misjudge the opposition, and that's why it's unknown exactly what will happen. But we should ask people to study the history more carefully, study the history of sanctions more carefully, and study the economics of what's going on. because the Europeans and the Americans don't exactly represent free market economics. They represent a failed system, the Keynesian economic system. And we have to remember what Mises said about Keynesianism, the planned economy will fail just as pure socialism fails. But his prediction was that it would drift toward more of a fascist state. And there are hints of what's happening, in East Ukraine as well as in Europe. Well, even for that matter, in United States, that we become so embedded with big business that this lends itself toward not only crony capitalism and that it could end up actually being involved with a fascist type of state. At least it's going to fail economically. So there's a lot of things that have to be understood there. And this whole idea that we can get up there and start accusing Russia of violating sovereignty, by what moral right do we have to complain about what Russia's doing, what they see is in their best interest for this government having been thrown over, when we have 800 military bases? And did we cause a little bit of instability with our invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, being involved in all the wars, the overthrows of government in Africa? And how often do we violate sovereignty? For our president to get up and say, oh, no, we cannot put up with this violation of sovereignty. Numbers-wise and extent-wise, I think it'd be hard-pressed to find any country that has ever been involved with so many countries at one time violating other people's sovereignty. But the big task that we have is to show that that's a pro-American position, because I strongly believe it is. I believe it's in our interest of our liberties, the interest of our economic policy, and our safety. But unfortunately, the noise is all made in Washington by the neoconservatives. And if you look at the newscasts, all the TVs, essentially everyone said the same thing. You know, Russia's the devil, and nobody else has ever made a mistake. And if we don't stand up to Russia, you know, we're derelict in our duty, and we're morally bound to get involved and insist that Russia does this and that. I would say that we're morally bound to mind our own business, and we'd all be better off for it.
When we continue with Ron Paul and Ron Paul, the weekly podcast, I want to ask finally about American fingerprints over unrest in Ukraine, and we'll do that next.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
With Washington spending more, always more, you won't be surprised to hear that the IRS is under a strict mandate this year to collect. If you owe back taxes, listen carefully, because their army of agents is ruthless. They can levy your bank accounts, garnish your wages, and even take your home or business. This is serious, but I have a good solution. Call the people who can help you, Optima Tax Relief, and they'll get to work pronto to protect you from aggressive IRS collection actions. Be sure to ask about their Fresh Start initiative when you call. This is a limited-time program and one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. You could qualify for a settlement that is much less than before these changes. Nobody knows these tax relief programs like the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Get some help so you can get on with your life. One quick call is all it takes to get started on resolving your tax debt. Optima Tax Relief is fully accredited by the BBB and offers a one-of-a-kind money-back guarantee. Don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for your free consultation. Call 1-800-351-8385. 1-800-351-8385. 1-800-351-8385.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
Dr. Paul, thanks to intercepted phone calls, it's very clear that the State Department, the administration, the governing classes of the United States have been trying to micromanage the internal affairs of Ukraine, succession, power changes, power shifts, and so on. And of course, the question that you ask in these cases over and over again is, how we would like it were the Russians to be doing the same sort of thing on a country with which we share a border.
You know, that would sort of be like if we were a very weak nation, the Russians came to Mexico And then they had a conference call between their State Department and ambassador and say, well, looks like we're going to be able to have a coup in America and we're going to take over. Whom do you think we should put in charge? And that's what happened in Ukraine. There was literally an intercepted phone call of our ambassador as well, somebody from the State Department, talking about, you know, it's coming and we're going to achieve this and there's going to be an overthrow of the government. Whom are we going to put in charge? So no, if the American people had that coming up, you know, they'd be fighting wars. But what kind of a reaction would we have here in this country if all of a sudden China or somebody else decided to occupy the Gulf of Mexico and say, well, we got to protect our oil. But we occupy the Persian Gulf, and we're demanding that there's no infraction of the Russians in the Black Sea, that we own everything, and yet we throw our weight around. The only thing that permits us to do that is we still are in the driver's seat because we have most of the weapons, and we are still protected because people are still taking our dollars. As long as that happens, I don't think the neocons are going to lose their argument that they have to always be threatening. The one inroad that we're making, though, is American people are starting to say, go easy, we're not looking for another war. So that public pressure is still very important.
Dr. Paul, thank you. Of course, another great conversation, great insight, and a great podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.